Bendigo Business Stories podcast, produced by B Bendigo, acknowledges the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognises the continuing connection to lands, waters and community. We pay our respects to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander cultures and to the elders past, present and emerging. Welcome to our Women in Business series as part of the Bendigo Business Stories podcast, proudly produced by B Bendigo and sponsored by McKern Steel. McKern Steel is a leading supplier of high-quality structural steel for residential projects across Victoria. Located across three venues in Bendigo, they are dedicated to keeping their business regionally based. McKern Steel are also an active player in the community through the McKern Foundation, which is focused on contributing to community projects that benefit the health and well-being of youth. This season is dedicated to celebrating women in our business community who are driving change, breaking barriers, and inspiring others with passion and determination. Join me, your host Kimberly Finesse, as we talk to local women about their career journey. We'll talk about the challenges they've faced, the lessons they've learned, and the success they've achieved along the way. This season is about something more than just sharing their individual stories. It's about recognising the invaluable contributions that women make to our community and our local economy every single day. It's about celebrating their resilience, their creativity, and their commitment to excellence. Now let me introduce you to our special guest. Hello, Hayley, and welcome to the podcast. I'm looking forward to talking about your 15 years in business and just the lessons of business and that longevity all around Indulge Chocolates.
Yes, well, it has been quite a ride along the way. I mean, I've done lots of things before, so that led me to Indulge, but it's been a fabulous 15 years.
Yes. Now, most retailers, their biggest time of year will be Christmas, Mother's Day, Valentine's Day. You've just come off the back of your biggest time of the year, your biggest week, and especially here in Bendigo, it's Easter. Yeah.
Absolutely. Bendigo is pumped at Easter. It's such a fabulous atmosphere and so good to be so much part of it. But I love Christmas, love Easter, and it's so much fun to see everyone when they walk in and the smiles when they walk out. So it's, yeah, we do everything we can just to make it fabulous for everyone.
Yes, and I know that Easter is a big time that, you know, the chocolate takes a long time to put together those giant bunnies and all of that. How are you feeling coming off the week of that?
I actually feel pretty good. I could do with a couple of days off, to be honest, but physically and mentally I feel really good. But that's, I have learnt over the years how to manage it. This year we went really well in managing how we do things. You refine all of your processes along the way and it's just been better for me. I've probably coped better physically and mentally because I've made sure I look after myself leading up to it as well. And it's all about my health personally to get us through.
So what does that look like then? What things are you doing that looks after your health?
Anybody that knows me and has known me for some time knows that I'm a bit of a gym junkie. So I love physical exercise and going to gym and all that that entails, looking after my body. I'm not crazy, super crazy anymore, but I have been known to be at times. Going to gym also, it's not just doing weights and doing exercise. It's the community that it provides me outside of work as well. So between my family and my business, I have that community that I can go to. And when I go, I will always go pretty much straight after work, go to gym. That's my decompression from my work day. They don't talk about work with me. We're not chatting about what happens and my suppliers and all of that. It's a completely different conversation there and it's fun. And that's, then I go home and I'm not thinking about work because I've had that time away and I've let myself get all of my, if something bad's happened at work, lift heavy weights. And do a class where it's, you know, can really let that out. And I don't know, I found it's made for mental health as well as physical, it's been a great thing for me.
It is, and I find sometimes you've got kids as well and occasionally it's so easy to slip into that I don't have time. And I think that's probably one thing that I noticed running a business was my fitness, and that dropped. Like, I always found an excuse not to go. It was like, well, that's an hour out, I could be doing that instead. How have you worked through that?
I did have time when I didn't go, but as soon as my kids were old enough, my husband worked away for a number of years, so he was travelling to and from Melbourne when the kids were little, I couldn't go. So as soon as they got to an age where I could easily leave them, I would go in the mornings before I went to work. This was pre this business. It was with when I worked with my parents. So I could do that in the morning before they went to school, or I'd go later at night when my husband got home. But to me, it's just part of my life. Honestly, when I went to school, I was the worst. I was the manager of the netball team at school. I was not into exercise at all. But once I started, it became so much of my life. I've done powerlifting, bodybuilding along the way. So it's been quite interesting and crazy early in my life, but I've continued on that. Now it's just part of who I am, but it just makes me a better person overall because I do have that outlet along the way. I think everybody needs an outlet in their business. When they are business owners, you need to have that outlet or you are 24/7.
As you said, just to be able to be around a community that talk about anything else, your business.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you need that. You know, although I have a big emphasis on exercise and I totally believe that as we age, that we do need to keep our bodies fit and use it or lose it is just so much more. But I have very strong issues about and beliefs about exercising and weight training moving forward. My mother has dementia now. And there's so many links between doing some sort of strength training and dementia and Alzheimer's. So it does help along the way to do that. So I fully believe that anybody who's heading into the second part of their life really should be doing weightlifting or some sort of weights and not be intimidated by it either. There's lots of ways to go about it. That's another passion of mine to the side.
Speaking of your parents, they've been in business as well, and that's sort of how you've come through in your career journey. Tell me a little bit about that time in your life and maybe what lessons you've taken from them and applied to your own business.
There's been many lessons that I've learned from my parents along the way. And my dad very early on had that entrepreneurial flair. So he started off as a carpet layer in Swan Hill. We come from Swan Hill. Then he decided that Swan Hill was too small for us and we were going to the Gold Coast. We were supposed to be buying a news agency, but Dad ended up buying a block of land and was going to build these units. So he bought this block of land, and this we're talking about 1975. He bought a block of land for $150,000 in 1975. I hate to think what that block of land is worth now, but he didn't tell anybody, didn't tell his parents, didn't tell anybody what he'd spent. And built these units. In 1976, we won Home Unit of the Year in Queensland. It was phenomenal. At the time, I'm in year 12. I have no clue what this means. But now I look back and I think, wow, that was amazing. Did he do that again? Could he find another block of land? No. We bought a prawn trawler and Mum bought a dress shop.
Oh my gosh, what a unique combination, prawns and dresses.
I know, it was great. I was in year 12 and my mum's got a dress shop. It was great. But that was a whole different ballgame. Like they had no fear of jumping into anything new. Then we get out of those and we're off to live in Proserpine. I went to Proserpine High School and we lived on the edge of Shute Harbour. And we bought a boat that was 176 foot long, four decks. It was a repossession that had been in Sydney Harbour. It was the Whitsunday Wanderer. And they sailed back up to the Whitsundays. And we were the first people to take paying customers to Whitehaven Beach. So when we went there, no one was there. So Hamilton Island wasn't even built then. All there was a few of the bigger ones. Hayman Island was there. We actually went to Hayman Island one day and the man did not want us to stop at Hayman Island because that was a privately owned island and stood on the end of a jetty with a shotgun.
Wow.
We were not allowed to dock there. But it was just amazing being the first people. You know, we'd rock up at Whitehaven Beach and we'd put people in a dinghy and float them in and it was just deserted. You go there now and there's public toilets and a million people. But to think that I just can't, it blows my mind now, the things that they did then.
Mm. Did you look at your childhood and go, it's a little bit different to my friends?
No, I never even thought about it. It never even crossed my mind. And I think when you're kids, you don't think about those things. But now my dad looks back, he's 85, and he looks back and he goes, oh, I should never have dragged you kids around. He feels very sorry for what he put us through, but oh my God, you should never feel sorry for that. He wanted to be a millionaire and retire at 40. Definitely that did not happen because there were ups and downs along the way. And after the boat, there was many other things that have happened, but they ended up in Bendigo and had the pastor pantry until they retired. But he is very sorry about what he has put us through. But God, it was the most amazing childhood to get to go to these places. And now I wish my kids had been to other places to live. I want them to experience those things as well. But I think not everyone, that's not everyone's ideal life, but I was certainly open to having a crack.
Yeah, risk taking.
Yeah, yep. But the other thing I also learnt was there's a level of risk and you've got to assess what the level of risk is that you feel comfortable with and also what you're prepared to put your family through. Because if it's not just you and you do have a husband and kids and others to think about, you need to consider all of those options that are going to happen. If your partner is on board with you, and then go for it.
Mm. Now, you're in your 16th year. Mm-hmm. This year you have made the decision to just step away from the business, obviously find an owner that can take the reins and look after Indulge Chocolates how they will. In those 16 years, you have always been in the Bath Lane precinct. Talking about risks, you bought that shop off a plan, like not even seeing it built as such.
There was nothing. So we had the pastor pantry, long story, but we had a friend who had a chocolate shop and he was moving to the Philippines. He said, do you want to buy, I'll give you all the equipment. I really don't care about making pasta, but I'd love to have a go at chocolate. So we said yes, never having any idea about chocolate at all. And we decided that the Bendigo Bank was building their new head office. That would be the perfect place. We're going to have all of those people. It's a massive building. So we got in touch with them. You know, when you come to lease, we want a shop in there. So we were one of the first ones to pick our shop and we knew what was sort of roughly around us. And I thought, oh my God, how's this going to go? Right, worst case scenario. I always go worst case scenario and then, you know, anything in between is never so bad then. But the worst case scenario was I'd be working there on my own, maybe one staff member. How bad would that be? As long as I could pay the rent, it really didn't matter. So we went for it. But, it was a big risk actually buying it, not having any idea, but I had trust that the bank would do the right thing and actually build something fabulous. And which they did.
And they definitely have. It's changed a little bit, obviously, since COVID, and we can talk about that. But I suppose 15 years, there's got to be some lessons in business. There's got to be moments there that just are wow moments and maybe not so wow. Mm. But you're a really positive person. We were talking before we hit record and, you know, you said you sort of don't dwell in the negativity. How have you used that throughout your business then? How have you remained so positive even when there have been the ups and downs?
I think I try not to dwell on negatives because who does that hurt? That hurts me. And I am the only one impacted by my own negative thoughts. Don't think about it. Think about it for five. Take what lessons you can. From every negative, there has to be a positive. There has to be something you can take away from it. It's like every interaction you have. There's no waste of time meetings. There's no, I don't want to go to that because it'll be boring and I won't get anything out of it. Well, you might. If someone asks you to do something, say yes, because what's the worst that can happen? It's not that big a deal. Yes, if it's a massive risk and you're going to lose your house, you know, there are risks. But again, it's assessing risks along the way. But negative things like, first thing that people think of is the massive negative in business is COVID. Now, whilst that was a positive for very few businesses, it was also an opportunity. So it was an opportunity to change a business. We weren't doing things before COVID that we're doing now that have actually made the business better for what it is. We had to, yes, we had to pivot like everybody pivoted, but we're actually a better business now than we were before. And there's been lots of moments along the way like that that have actually changed what we've done, whether it be It seemed a negative at the time, or it was a positive. Positive things that probably happened was 2017. I was so lucky. I got selected by F. Mayer, my chocolate supplier, who supplied the Calabar chocolate to me. I was selected to go on a cocoa plantation tour to Ghana. Now, prior to this, I hadn't even got a passport because I had been nowhere. When we were kids, my parents worked, so we never went on big holidays, we never went overseas. Everything was what you could do in the time that they could take off work or the time between businesses. Never bothered us. We weren't thinking we were totally deprived or anything. But never been to Tassie, never been over water on a plane. So going to Ghana was an eye-opener, but it also changed the business. So when I got the opportunity, I thought, right, how do I leverage this to make it as much as I can? Because it's such a vast opportunity, but I don't want it to be just me going and there be no comeback to the business, because it is about the business. So that led me to put my first marketing person on. So I got somebody to help me leverage the trip to Ghana, and she actually stayed with me then and did work with me for a couple of years. We'd set up the socials properly. I had a Facebook, I had an Instagram, but they were very dodgy. There's definitely something to be said for having a professional do your, and I totally believe in that across every part of a small business. I don't know everything. And as a small business owner, you are somewhat expected to know everything about every facet, because you are HR, you are treasurer, you do everything in it. So, but I surround myself and I try and surround myself with people who have that knowledge. If I don't know it, go and find somebody who does, because that's where you can make mistakes as well.
And in terms of Bendigo, has that been easy to find those people to help?
I don't think I've had a problem. I probably use my connections to find those people. And I think once you've been around for a little while, you sort of get to know who's who and who can help you. And I very much go on vibes. I think if you're going to work with someone, you're going to work closely with them. You have to connect with them. I don't hire anybody that I don't have a good feeling about. I want my staff to work with me, not for me. So they have to be people that care as much as I do, and that's what we try and instill in our staff, that they actually care as much about that business as I do. And, you know, that's how we've sort of kept a number of them. People have stayed for long times with me, which has been fantastic.
Have you done any courses or short workshops or anything like that just to help you with that staffing, to bring them on, keep them engaged, and obviously the output be of benefit to your business?
Not specifically about staffing. Probably I've done courses about the chocolate, and I kept learning about that. As I've got more into it, I have Pascal is a mentor for me. Probably he is somebody that works for Mayer's, the company, and he's been fabulous. So I find those people along the way that can help me in that respect. As far as working on the business, I did one course very early on in the piece that actually was one of my moments that led to a sequence of events that actually formed such a part of where I am, was going to do a small business workshop on how to write a business plan. I was already in the business, but we'd just sort of gone ahead and set it up without a specific plan as such, because in years gone by, that was what my dad did. You didn't go into a business and have a plan about what your exit strategy was going to be. And so I went and did a business planning, and it turned out to be with a very small group of people that ended up being all quite successful and are in businesses still now. Remember, Paul from Woodhouse was one of the people that was in it, and you know, they were a great little group. We became mentors for the next group through, and that produced some really good. But off the back of that, I was nominated for the Business Excellence Awards. So my Business Excellence Awards background goes back a number of years, when someone nominated me very early on the piece. I think I'd only been in the business 12 months. And I thought, oh no, I can't do that. Then the next time I was nominated, I'd been to do the course. I looked at the questions. I thought, do you know what? I can actually answer those questions now, because having the plan and doing that workshop had given me the basic strategies of how to write the application, which is quite different back then to what it is at the moment. It was much more arduous. It was all typed up and bound, and you had to put things with it. I still find it
arduous. It's really, yes, it's a couple of hours.
But it's absolutely so worth it, because from that it highlighted what I needed to work on. So I'm very bad at working in the business because I love the business and I love working in it, but you need to spend time working on it. And doing that application actually highlighted the bits that were missing along the way that I hadn't thought enough about. I think the first year I wasn't a finalist. I went, right, I'm going to go again. So I went again, and the next year I was a finalist. Might have been the year after that I won.
Persistence pays off, Hayley.
Persistence plays off, but it also it let me clarify what it is that I'm missing here. What is it that I'm not getting, and what are those judges seeing in other people's business that I'm not up there yet with?
I think that's a really good lesson in that when you do something and it doesn't work, don't do the same thing again. Mm-hmm. Like as you said, look at what's missing and improve on that. And that could be applied not just to the awards, but I suppose any part of a business. Could be applied to social media or whatever it might be, is to find those areas that are lacking and obviously try and improve on them. Always refining, massaging it.
Yeah, absolutely. And things change. Like when I first started my socials, for instance, it was just me jump on. But
no stories and reels back then?
No story. Absolutely not.
I don't think Instagram would have been huge at that stage either.
I don't think Instagram had even really started back then.
No, it hadn't.
Yes, it was all very – I think the first Instagram course I did, I put a photo of – it's probably still back there if you scroll back. It's probably a picture of me there at this course and us mucking around taking photos of myself.
We'll have to find that.
Oh, my God. If you go back far enough, it might be there.
And I think that's really interesting too when you bring up business plans. Where do you rate a business plan? How important is it, and should it be something you have at the start, or do you need to get a couple of runs on the board or a feel for the business before you start refining it?
I think it's a good place to start, but don't be bound by it, because it is actually an ever-evolving document, and you can't just sit there and go, right, my business plan says, because things change and external things will always change that. Like you write a business plan, you would never have had COVID listed in there as one of your risks. So, you know, there's always, it always does need to be evolved. I personally haven't looked at it for years, but I think you get beyond that as well. And unless it's actually required, it's not a big thing for me nowadays.
You mentioned exit strategy before. It's probably a great segue. What does that exit strategy look like for you in your business? And when did this decision come around and why?
The decision probably was pushed back by COVID. I think if we'd have kept going on the same trajectory that we were prior, I would have thought about it a lot earlier. I'd had a run of amazing events. The trip to Ghana was fantastic. The following year, somebody from the chocolate company said, come to Paris to the World Chocolate Masters. I went, okay.
That passport's getting a workout.
I know. And the following year, I was taken by the chocolate company in Hey La La Vanilla to a vanilla plantation in Tonga. Amazing. The experiences over those 3 years, I just went, ooh. It was too good to be true. I thought, I've just got to keep going. If COVID hadn't have happened, I possibly would have put it on the market and thought about it getting out earlier than what I have. I have had the business on the market 12 months, never really pushed it or set a deadline on it. It was just like, oh, I think it's time. Come Christmas 2023, I thought, no. I'll be honest, I'm 60 this year. That scares the life out of me. I don't feel that age mentally or physically, and it's quite difficult getting to that point where you think about your own mortality, where my kids are now adults, my parents are not well, and start thinking about, right, well, what time? I actually haven't got an infinite amount of time. What do I want to do with the rest of my life before I can't enjoy the time that I have left? As much as I love indulge, I love that business. I love being there. I love the people. I love the work. I had a shoulder reco last year physically, and it's just that repetitive work that I do. I want to do something different. I am, as much as I don't want to say I'm bored, I am a little bit bored and I want to do other things. I never thought, there's so many things along the way I've thought, oh yeah, I'd like to have a go at that. I'd like to have a go at that. But if I don't get out now and actually have a go, I'll never do any of those things. So the time was right. And that's when I had to put it out there that this is my last Easter, because I needed to put a final date on it. But I am not closing down that business. It is not closing. I just want to find somebody fabulous to take it on, and somebody that will have the passion about it and love it as much as I do.
What feeling does walking away from the business have for you? Is there any moments of, I'm letting people down, this is exciting, but what if? Because obviously it's very emotional for you to talk about stepping away.
It is very emotional, but in the end, we get to the point where it's actually about my life, and that is a business that I have loved and I do love, but it is a business. It's not my life. I've got more that I want to do and more that I want to give to other things that is actually stopping me doing. So I have to step away. I love those customers and I always will, and, you know, that will always be a big part of my life, but I don't want it to be the end of my life.
I think it's an important thing to talk about because, you know, even just with the economy, there's lots of people that need to make that decision. But there's also this feeling that when you go into business, it's business forever. Like that suddenly there's not the option to step out, and sometimes we tie ourselves to that business. Mm. We tie who we are and we tie our self-worth to it. Do you feel that as well? Or?
Oh, absolutely. Because when I step away, I won't be Hayley from Indulge anymore. And that's, oh, you're Hayley from Indulge. That's something I'll need to deal with later on.
Yes.
Ask me in a, you know, 6 months' time.
Oh, absolutely need to do a follow-up on this. I want to talk about collaborations, because when we think about chocolate, there is so many extra things that come with Indulge chocolate. You know, there's the delicious salt that you've added. There is the Shiraz and the wines, but they're all local. Mm.
And that was really part of my values that I bring to the business. And I mean, that is also something that is a big part of the business, are my values. And I want to support locals. Now, this is all prior to City of Gastronomy. Way back in the beginning, I was one of the original founding members of the Food Fossickers Group. And that was about local. So that's where it all sort of began. And then collaborating with others around just enhances your business as well. So we produced a little Taste of Bendigo gift box that had four chocolates in it, and each of them was a local product was included in it. But it just brings people into your fold as well. And then when COVID happened, we had a hamper range, but that also got ramped up to the nth degree with that. But the City of Gastronomy was here by then as well, so we were able to use that as our circle of where we're going to get our products from. So we went outside the things that went in the chocolates and produced hampers that were actually including other people's full products in it. Now we have a range that is always evolving as well, because people will, in small things, close down, they'll retire, and new things are coming all the time.
Do you think more local business need to look at collaboration?
Oh, I think so, actually. I think it actually enhances your business, and it may not be a full-time or a long-time collaboration. It just needs to be something short. When the Art Gallery have all of their exhibitions, we'll often do a collab with other places to enhance the products.
Does it have to be monetary? When we're talking about where everything sits at the moment with the economy, someone would think of a collaboration and think, oh, I don't have the money to do that. Is there a way that it can be done that benefits both parties?
There's so many different types of collaboration that it's not always product collaboration either. When we did the food tour, for instance, we worked with Hugar, the sourdough bakery. There were numerous ones along the way. It sort of changed, but we worked with them and did a little tour so you could go to each place. So it benefited us all in that. We've done a lot of social media collaborations, and it might just be helping another business. So I might not get anything from it, but I'm actually helping another business, which it's all about. It's all swings and roundabouts. If I help you, you help me. It's not necessarily what you're going to get out of it financially, but it's, for me, it's making everybody better.
Rising tide lifts all boats.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think with social media, especially at the moment, that algorithm, there is something extremely wrong with it. So, you know, in looking in terms of content creation, I think that's where great collaborations come in. That is just a time exchange. If you can somehow work with a local business and say, can we grab a social media person to bring in? Can we film some content together, put it both up for reels, tag each other in? You can then try and leverage off each other's audiences at the moment, I think, which would be
absolutely
very helpful.
We did one at Christmas where I just said to my social media, I've got an idea. Bath Lane's great. There's so many good businesses in here. Let's see if we can put something out there. So we did a little reel with me walking up the street, grabbing bags and doing all my shopping. And I ended up, I think, every shop in Bath Lane. But it was just nice to show people on our socials that there are so many other people in the area. It didn't cost anyone anything, but it was just a nice little thing to highlight. If you're at this shop, there are other shops close. So, you know, don't just go to one, share yourself around, see what else is in the area that's about.
Yeah. I just think that whole helping each other market, sharing each other's posts, there is no competition in that at the moment. That's what we all need to do.
Absolutely.
Just to raise the brand, even if we look at a local level, raise the brand of Bendigo. And from that, we all benefit from that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. People are so worried about online shopping. Now, whilst that will always have a place, what do you want to do on Saturday morning if you've got a few hours? Do you want to sit at your computer and online shop, or do you want to go out and have a coffee and see your friends and walk around shops and actually experience things? I might be on my own, but I love trying on dresses and going into shops and meeting people and going to a shoe shop and trying on shoes and that experience of being with my friends and actually shopping in places is that I'm not going to get that from online shopping. So do we need to think about the experience that you're getting when you're going into that shop as well, because it's the experience part of it that makes people come back.
I love trying on things. And I've also introduced my kids to shopping. We do more so family things, like all go together and, go and have a look.
I must say, I do a little bit of online shopping.
There's some brands that you won't get locally.
Absolutely.
And that's just the way life is. But as a rule of thumb, if you can, you know, do a quick round up locally and then look out from there. As I said, I love collaborations. I think there's just so much opportunity without the exchange of money. I think that's the really big thing. Tell me, what has been one of the biggest wow moments for you in business?
On a personal level, actually getting that trip overseas. Those were amazing. I would never have gone to those countries if it hadn't been for my business. Apart from that, winning the Excellence Awards was fantastic. And the flow on from that's been amazing, because I am chair of the committee this year for the Excellence Awards. I love those awards and I totally see the worth in them. And they've just been amazing for me. And I think they can be amazing for lots of small businesses as well, not necessarily thinking about it being the end game of winning an award, but what you can actually go through the process of doing it. But it's been one big ride, and I don't like to go, like, I feel like there's not one specific thing that actually stands out in that. I look back now and I just think, I have been so lucky. But you sort of make a bit of your own luck, don't you? Like, nothing that you can say you're lucky, but nothing comes without the work to get that luck to happen.
And looking back, does it feel like hard work? Has it been hard work?
No.
Really? Well, yeah. Mm.
No.
Wow.
I love what I do. I'm an early riser. I get up early and I go to work. People go, oh, you get up so early. It must be terrible. I go, no, that's me. That's me. I'm up early. If I wasn't up early at work, I'd probably be up early and going to gym. That's just who I am. But it's been fun.
Yeah.
I've met amazing people. I've got to do amazing things and it's been great.
Any unwritten chapters that you're leaving?
Oh, I don't know what the chapters might be from here on. So as far as Indulge goes, I think I am very happy about where I'm leaving it and what I've been able to achieve along the way. I don't think I could have done much more in the time that I had with what's happened along the way. But yeah, it's been great.
Before we wrap up, I thought we'd do a quick fire.
Mm-hmm.
I've got three. Three's a good number. It has to be in threes.
Okay, go for it.
Your definition of success.
Success also to me means happiness. So success and happiness come hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. And it's not money. It's not, happiness is the definition of success for me. If you're happy, you are successful. Doesn't have to be what you've got, what car you drive, how much money you've got. It's can you look back and go, yep, I did it and I feel good about it.
Love it. What's your one piece of advice to new business owners?
Have a go. Have a go. Find people who you can talk to that can help you along the way. Not necessarily to give you an exact plan, but not those negative people. Just keep going and keep talking to people and look for the ones that can give you a bit of advice along the way or point you in the right direction to somebody who can, because there are people out there, not necessarily where you might think they are, but just talk to those around you.
I think you have to learn to get up again too, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah. Yeah. And your first idea may not be the right idea either, but don't give up and don't think that you haven't got the ability to find what it is. Because if you're one of those people that actually has a passion for something and wants to make a business out of it, you'll just keep going until you get to that.
You'll find a way.
Yep.
Last one.
Mm-hmm.
Who's your biggest cheerleader over 15 years? I know that's a big one.
Honestly, it has to be my dad.
Oh.
He still to this day, he will go everywhere and he will tell people, my daughter from Indulge. And it's a bit embarrassing. Go on, Dad. But he's always been there.
What's your dad's name?
Barry.
Good on you, Barry.
He's a good man and he's just, yeah.
Oh. So the last question, if you were to give your younger self a piece of advice, what would you tell Hayley?
Don't listen to all of the people who say you can't. Don't listen to the negativity. And it might be about not necessarily something that happens in your business, but something happens in your life. I go back, it sounds so ridiculous, but we are talking about a different time. I remember a man telling me once, even I'd go out with you if you were a bit thinner. Mm. Now, that sounds like something that shouldn't affect my business life, but because it became so much of my internal dialogue, it has taken over those years, it has affected me and what I've done. But don't listen to those negative people. Don't listen to that negativity and don't take it on, because you can't let yourself dwell on that. You need to keep going and look at the good things, because life is good, but you've just got to find those treasures in it.
I think there's something to be said about the people you surround yourself with.
Absolutely.
Yeah, really having a look at that inner circle.
Yep.
There's definitely those ones that are part of your friendship group and you'll know that they aren't the most positive people. Mm. And that's okay. You just need to keep them at arm's distance sometimes with what you let through.
Absolutely.
The filter.
Yep. Yeah. And then those people that you know you can count on, you know they're there.
You lean on them.
Absolutely. And they'll come along at different times. People will come and go in your life. I feel like I'm talking like I'm somebody that's really old now. I don't think, but they'll come and they'll go, but just treasure the ones that you've got. My dad used to tell me when I was like 18, they're not your friends, they're your acquaintances. You know, your friends are few and far between. There'll be people you know, but those friends are there. And it's absolutely true, but, you know, we diss all the stuff that our parents tell us when we're kids and, you know, they have got some treasures along the way.
You probably see that with your own kids now. Telling them so. You can just see that.
that glazed look.
The glazed look and that you don't know anything.
No.
I think there are going to be a lot of people that miss seeing your face in the Bath Lane precinct whenever that moment happens, that, you know, you step into that next chapter of your life and enjoy what is out there. We've all been able to enjoy what you create for 15 years. Of absolute sweet success.
Thank you. It's been a joy and it has been fun talking to you today. And I do hope that I get to see everybody around Bendigo again soon in different places. So.
Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed this episode, please let us know by leaving a review via our socials or connecting with us online at bbendigo.com.au.